This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And right now, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. This might be, I don't know if it's ADD C Block or if it's just regular C Block, but we're going to cover a lot of ground in this one.
Okay.
Step number one, I saw this from Evan Grant earlier, and I wanted everybody to know. We get a lot of questions about Sebastian Walcott.
Yep.
And a lot of questions about when's he coming up. They want Corey Seager to be Corey Seager first. All right. And if Corey Seager's Corey Seager, you are not asking a question about Sebastian Walcott. That's the reality. So they are waiting for that to happen. However, if you haven't seen Walcott play yet, next Tuesday is your chance. The game between Frisco and Tulsa will be broadcast on MLB Network. So if you want to get your eyeballs on Sebastian Walcott and some of the other Frisco Rough Riders players, I do believe that is a 1 p.m. Central game.
Okay.
So Kevin, that should be right here in the middle of y'all's show on Tuesday next week. So be prepared for that, and you can watch some Sebastian Walcott. I'm going to name traits of a quarterback. And I want you to tell me which traits mean the most to you. I'm going to give you combinations of traits.
Okay.
And I want you and Alec to tell me which traits mean the most to you. Here we go. Trait number one, mobility and situational grit.
Ooh.
Mobility and situational grit.
A lot. That's pretty darn high on my list.
All right. That's number one. Remember that. Number two, experience and arm strength.
That's lower to me, which might make some people mad.
Yeah, I think arm strength is overrated at times, depending on the right person.
Okay. All right. Number three, vision and short area accuracy.
Ooh, I actually think that's higher than the last one. I would put that second.
Me too. I feel like that's fundamental.
This is interesting because I'm kind of curious if y'all are comparing all these traits to Dak, and you're like, oh yeah, Dak can't throw for short for it to save his life.
Not necessarily.
Okay. All right. So you're up, down. All right. Here we go. And then last one, composure and downfield touch.
That's probably my new. I think that might be my second.
That's two for me.
Yeah.
That's number two.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I'm with you on
so
that.
So what was number one then?
The very first one you went over.
The very first one. That's the first one for you too?
Yep. Yeah.
Gentlemen, your starting quarterback for your Cleveland Browns will be Kenny Pickett then. So you guys chose Kenny Pickett because of his mobility and situational grit. Mm. Would you like to take
a guess? Well, they're all Browns quarterbacks. I feel like either way I'm going to go.
Hey, he's a Super Bowl champ.
Yeah.
Let's pump the brakes here.
Yeah. No, I don't feel great about it. I don't. And by the way, when you listed off those capabilities and those traits, at no point was Kenny Pickett in my mind. It's like, that's my guy.
Yeah, he's the dude that I was wanting this whole thing. And I didn't even tell you it was the Browns either. I wanted to just kind of like be as bare as possible to get to what's important. So let me go through the other ones then. Experience and arm strength. Who do you think that is for the Browns? The word experience.
Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco. So do you want Joe Flacco? Sounds like y'all put him fourth.
I don't.
Y'all put Joe Flacco fourth on the list. Short area accuracy and vision is Dylan Gabriel.
I could see that. Do you think they said short because
he's tiny?
Yeah.
Yeah. Composure and downfield touch was Shedeur Sanders.
Oh.
And I personally love composure and downfield touch. Now, there's a lot of other things that you have to have in your bag. You can't just be, hey, I'm a Anthony Richardson can throw the ball far.
Sure.
Does he have composure? I don't think so. He looks like he's like, I got to go. But we've seen Shedeur hang in the pocket for a long time.
Okay.
Dak Prescott has a lot of these qualities, but still, you know, something's missing. But you guys decided mobility and situational grit
is
what you want in a quarterback. And y'all got Kenny Pickett. So congratulations.
I mean, like straight out of the gate, are you good with any of those?
With any of those quarterbacks?
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually okay with Shedeur.
Take that, Kenny Pickett.
I don't know why we have that.
I don't either, but
that is awesome. You hate Kenny Pickett. Yeah, you love Kenny Pickett.
This is a confusing segment for me.
All right,
very torn.
Let's do this real quick then. For Dak Prescott, does he have composure and downfield touch?
No.
I did see that he was last year fourth among quarterbacks in downfield accuracy.
Yeah, well, and when he played, a third of the season? No, I do not think he does.
Vision and short area access or accuracy.
It's all right. Yeah.
I'd say it's fair.
Yeah.
Like a check or a line?
I'll give him a check.
All right, check. Experience and arm strength.
I mean, he's definitely got experience.
He's got 10 years of it.
Yeah, I just don't. He does not have the strongest arm.
So you give him a line.
Yeah, I'll give him a line.
That's a half check, if you will.
Yeah.
It's not an X.
Right, don't you think?
Yeah. No, I agree. The half check just confused me. That would be a V.
Mobility and situational grit. I feel like that's a line as well, because mobility-wise, he can navigate the pocket well, because I do think sometimes his footwork in the pocket is poor, but I also do think he has a pretty good feel in there.
Yeah.
And he'll take the hit. He will take a hit, but he can't run. Like we saw last year, he tried to do it, he can't. So I'm going to give that a line. Y'all agree?
I think he gets a line at best there.
Okay.
Look. My issue is I think his pocket presence is shaky at best. And so, yeah, you give him a line.
You agree on a line there?
Yeah, give him a line. I think that, like you said, the composure is there, but is it always the cleanest and the prettiest? No.
From the 214, hang on a damn minute. You can't say Flacco has arm strength, but Dak doesn't. Come on.
I did not. I said he has experience.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back and check in. Yeah, that was CBS, by the way, that said that. I'm going to have to go check in on his arm strength again during his Super Bowl run, because I can't say that I thought it was, you know, just bullets the entire time, but he had his ability to, him and Anquan Boldin had something figured out, and they figured out Anquan Boldin can jump up and catch a ball and cornerbacks can't defend it.
Right.
And Joe Flacco was like, I'll throw to that spot then.
Yeah.
And it was usually high and in the back of the end zone or just for a first down on the sideline. They had a really good run with that, and they had stout defense to go along with it. That's how important defense is to a championship team. Alec, you said something earlier that might end up taking the rest of this segment.
Oh.
Ooh.
Because you said the internet is not a real place.
Indeed.
And we say that a lot. Like I say that a lot, but I wanted to dive a little more into what that really means, because the Twitch and the YouTube and the fan text, I believe those aren't real places either. And the reason I say that is because I know for a fact people on the fan text, I think the Twitch does a really nice job of complimenting me, so I love them for that. Thank you, Twitch. The fan techs, though, we know for a fact they will send something in. You can call them out and they're immediately like, you know what? You're right. I'm sorry. Or they're like, hey, I was just joking.
Yeah, like, look, I'll just throw it out now so I don't have to type back in advance. The comparison of Cooper Flagg to Keith Van Horn is a ridiculous comparison. Cooper Flagg is already infinitely better defensively than Keith Van Horn could ever dream to be.
And so those things happen a lot. And I've told people on many occasions, you're saying this right now on the fan text, but you would never say this to my face. And I've had people come up to me at events. By the way, hopefully we're having a fan hang really soon. I'm looking forward to it. I've had people come up to me during these events and they say things and they're like, you know, I said this before to you. And I'm like, yeah, you would not say that because we talk. You're going to have a better conversation with me and we're going to have a good time. But Twitter, not a real place. People post things that they don't even believe. They just are saying it for reaction a lot of times. A lot of time, like Kevin, there was a time when I would go to Twitter for my news. And there still is some times where I'm like, oh man, I got some breaking information from Twitter today.
Sure.
But man, it is so much more of the conversation about what my opinion means to the world than anything. And a lot of people just make it I'm doing a hot take real quick when they really would never say something like that. And that's what I think. Do you agree that's what the internet is not a real place means to you?
Yeah, just because the standards change. You know, the goalposts always move about what in the lines of reality and fiction get blurred there real easily to the misinformation that spread. Like all of that, it ties into the fact that it just doesn't matter to real life to me what goes on there. And I think it's for every reason that you just said.
Yeah. It's a very different area where people can be who they want to be. Because they don't have to see the people that they're talking to every day in real life.
Yeah.
And when you have to go into work and see the person that you talked to S about today, it's different.
And like, oddly enough, even if it's like mean, I feel like sometimes I would have more respect for the person if they're like, no, I said what I believe, mm-hmm. you know, instead of just trying to get some BS out there to get a reaction or to get clicks or whatever. Like, there's just been a couple of things that I'm like, my goodness, I disagree with that so much, but I at least can oddly respect that you're standing by your opinion, which means you really believed it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not saying that means it's a good opinion, but at least you really believed it and you didn't just say some crap to get some attention.
Yeah. And hey, sometimes there have been times when I've just been like, let's see what happens when I say this. On Twitter, and you know exactly what's about to happen because the way people react, rage baiting is a thing, and I agree. But you also have the ability to turn that not real place off. You can turn Twitter off at any point and walk away from it. I deleted Facebook from my phone a long time ago because I did end up scrolling a lot. The only time I really ever post is whenever I'm on my computer or even see it is on my computer because this is chaos world, dude. There's chaos world out there. All right. Also, 877-881-1053, heading to the beach next week. What should I drink on the beach?
What water.
If you have you know what? That's a great.
Keep you hydrated.
That's a great one there, Kevin. Yep, water is what I was looking for.
Oh, you guys are being sarcastic. Okay. Are you supposed to drink? Look, question. Are you supposed to drink a Mai Tai or is it any drink that you could put that little umbrella in that you're like, that's a beach drink?
Oh, that's a good question. It depends on if you like beach. I was thinking more like cold beers. Which cold beers should I have while I'm out there? If you have any local suggestions.
Every commercial I've ever seen says it's Corona.
So
right?
Some local craft brews that I should take down to the beach with me. I'd love to hear from that. Somebody said Guinness for strength. I appreciate that. That's a good one. I'm not drinking a Guinness on the beach. That's just not... That doesn't seem like the one that I'm rocking.
That's no fly list activities right there.
Yeah, but send in your texts. I'm going to go ahead and collect those, crowdsource them, and roll with it. Kevin, a tourist at the Palazzo
in Italy
tried to sit in a priceless chair covered in Swarovski crystals.
Oh, that feels like that would be painful.
And shattered it.
Yeah.
They shattered it. A tourist damaged this Swarovski crystal sculpture modeled after Vincent van Gogh's famous chair painting, by the way. The incident, which took place in April.
Pause, because you're my art expert. I need your insight on
true.
This. Is there any part of you ever that looks some of these old paintings, whether it's from Van Gogh, Manet, Monet, whoever, and you're like, it's not really that great. It's just old. And so you guys decided a long time ago it was great. No one had the guts to speak up against it. Like, you look at some of these paintings, and do you ever think, like, I saw a painting 2 years ago that's way better than that. And it just came out 2 years ago.
Very similar to card collecting.
Oh, the I market, can see that for sure.
The market decides what's important.
Yeah.
And the class of people that are collecting art decide what's important.
Yeah.
Plus, they got to launder their money somehow.
But, oh, look, I think about that all the time. Hey, it's a PSA 10. Do you give a crap about the card? Not really, but it's a PSA 10, so that works for me. Oh, do you really give a crap about this painting? No, but everybody knows it.
But yeah, it is the story. If it says Van Gogh on it, if it says Monet on it, if it says certain names, that's part of the story, which I've always told you, the story's more valuable than the piece.
I am so sad that I think that's been lost to time. Because your
art rant,
bizarre rant, made all the sense in the world to me about why art is popular.
The sculpture created in 2008 was constructed from metal and aluminum, but this person sat on it, broke it. Kevin, you need to watch this video. They jump up and run off. Like, they didn't even, like, hey, by the way, we're sorry. Does insurance cover this? They just took off, and I don't know if they've been caught. Also, I did see that in 2021, because... Was it a couple of years ago? Dude ate a banana of artwork, and he ate the banana, and everybody was just like on the wall. And it was like $120,000.
How is that art?
Salvatore Garo in 21 sold an invisible sculpture.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tea Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tea Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tea Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972 Go Men's Tea or Men'sTeaClinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For $18,000, providing the buyer with a certificate of authenticity to confirm its existence. And he's like, no, it's right there on the platform in my mind.
See, but you're right about that. Because, like, again, going back to cards, you could see a PSA 10. You're like, there's no way that's a perfect card. I can see it's not a perfect card. And they're like, well, it says PSA 10, so it's perfect.
That sculpture doesn't even exist.
Yes.
It's fake.
Yes.
He goes, hold on. No, it's there. It is there. And you're like, 18 grand. Let's book it right now. Ridiculous. Again, you got to launder your money somehow.
We're the KNC Masterpiece. Right here on 105.3 The Fan. I guess if you have to. Coming up next, it's time for My Buddy's an Idiot. Does your friend have a terrible sports or pop culture opinion, or is he sliding in the draft because he thought he was a lock at pick 3?
Oh, no.
We'll do it next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And I'm going to start My Buddy's an Idiot by talking about how stupid Corey is.
No, I'm not. Just having fun, yo.
I got a picture from Jess. And it's our niece, Allie, standing with Shaq. And I showed the picture to Corey and I said, hey, this is my niece, Allie. His response, oh, she's tall.
Hey, I want to tell y'all something right now.
What
tell
do you want to say?
Man, stepdad Corey's got thoughts.
Yeah, he does.
You want those damn kids to shut the door so the air conditioning doesn't get out?
Most people out there, if they have friends at work, they spend most of the day at work trying to get their friends to laugh.
Yeah.
My job is I'm surrounded by people that try to make each other laugh all the time. And so that's usually the thing is what's the thing I can say that's going to crack my friend up? And Kevin, you laughed.
I did.
And whenever I said it. And so, like, that's my goal most of the day. And fortunately, we get to do this on air too.
Yeah.
A lot of times I'll say things on air. I don't care. If anybody else gets it, just to make Kevin laugh. And if I did that, then I succeeded and it made it a good day.
If you ever hear my response of, okay, that's a joke for like three or four people, that's specifically because it's for me and maybe Alec and Carter and maybe like sometimes Reggie or something like that. Oh, man. Interesting situation transpiring in the College World Series where I feel like the Louisville head coach is mad that he did not field the last Coastal Carolina batter moved out of the way. So then the next one who came up, the Louisville pitcher made sure, I'm going to drill you good, especially when you're trying to bunt the ball.
Oh my gosh.
So it felt like that was intentional. All right. Top from my buddies and idiots. I'm going to start with this. Ace Bailey. So, you know, when we first talked about the draft lottery, I think it's pretty set in stone that Cooper Flagg 1, Dylan Harper 2, Ace Bailey 3, or as we frequently said, the two Rutgers kids, felt pretty locked in, pretty set. Well, Ace Bailey has a bold strategy in the draft. He has been unwilling to visit a whole bunch of teams and has yet to conduct a single workout. Now, keep in mind.
Why?
That's a great question.
Something's got to be wrong. This is what I would think.
Well, and then there's one more thing that you're not going to like either. And the draft is in a week. And so this is from NBA, from Dunk Central. I've seen some references to it on Hoops Hype. Bailey believes, I don't know who's responsible for this. So this isn't a direct quote from Bailey. But that's the thing. Sometimes information, even if inaccurate, can be damaging. Remember we talked with Paige Beckers about like if she ever had any doubts about Dallas. And she's like, you know what? I'm really glad that you asked that because the answer is no. Bailey believes he's a top three player in the draft and wants to be selected by a team that will provide a clear pathway to stardom. Now, that's the part that is going to be concerning for people because not a clear path to team success, because think about what happened at Rutgers. They didn't even make the NCAA tournament. And in Harper and Bailey, they had the presumptive 2 and 3 picks in the NBA draft. And I would argue Ace Bailey would have been taken first over anybody in last year's draft.
Okay.
And so they have these hugely talented players. They didn't even get to 500. And if the quote he has is, what team is going to get me to superstardom? That's not why you're drafting him.
Nope.
And so because...
isn't that the feeling with Flagg is he's different than Luka in
correct.
That he is going to work hard correct. And all these things?
Now, we'll see. Like,
right.
If he can turn into, what, 80% of the player Luka is, I feel like we'd all be pretty freaking pumped. But because of that, the betting favorite to be the third pick is now VJ Edgecombe, the kid out of Baylor, who is also a tremendous basketball player. But... now you've seen that Bailey has slid out of the third spot. Bailey is not an overwhelming favorite to be the number four pick. There are some people who think, I don't know if it'll be Trey Johnson, but some people have seen Jeremiah Fears move up the board. And so maybe it won't matter. Maybe Ace Bailey will end up going third and they'll be like, who cares? But it feels like in this moment that now the third pick is leaning pretty heavily towards VJ Edgecombe. And like, what's that going to cost Bailey in terms of money? Could he tumble down the board to fifth or sixth?
Or seventh.
Yeah. Okay. I know where this is going. And so that could cost you potentially a lot of money and just something to keep an eye out on.
No, absolutely.
That is troublesome.
Now, one of the things that, let's use Ben Simmons as an example.
Yeah.
We watched him play and we're like, he's got so many amazing tools. You want a player like that.
Yep.
We didn't know he hated shooting three-pointers and was scared of it.
And he quit on his team at the end of the year.
That right there. And then the other part of, did he ever really love basketball?
Yeah.
And or did he want to be a star?
Yeah.
And whenever you're going into doing something like that, that's the question is, that, and that's the question you want to ask somebody. Do you want to be a star or do you want to be a champion?
And there's another, again,
champions sources. Champions gonna make you a star.
Sources say that Bailey is comfortable that a team will trade up to get him at 3 or 4 if he falls.
Okay.
I was like, maybe. I don't know that. Then there's the UFL. I think the UFL qualifies as an idiot for the day because they said that they're not worried about their ratings decline.
Okay.
Specifically, UFL president Ross Brandon said the league, quote, isn't worried at all about the ratings decline. All right, I'll throw out a couple of other things that you might want to be worried about. So in addition to the ratings being down, the TV audience dropped by 20%, and every single team they have except for Michigan had an attendance drop from last year. So, like, that's great. And I know you want to project confidence and everything like that, but yes. If the ratings for your final and your season in general are down 20%, your attendance is down because Michigan went up 30%. That's great. Every other team in the league dropped attendance-wise, including Memphis, whose attendance went down 42%. So your attendance is down. Your TV ratings are down. I have to assume the buzz about them is down. I feel like it's okay to be like, yeah, and we're going to go back to the drawing board. We got some new strategies or something.
Okay. Oh, man, I'm glad you said new strategies. Man, you always say something that piques my interest.
Oh.
Somebody said the other day that Corey always starts a sentence with thee and then completely changes directions and wherever he's going. I'm like, you know what? You're right. Usually I'm like, I got a point, but I need to get you there. I need to get you there somehow. The part of new strategy, this has been a good series. These have been good basketball games.
Agreed.
And so that's what they wanted to sell. But how do you market that to the rest of the country when they don't believe it? That's a fun conversation.
The KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. Right now, let's turn our attention to the pitch from FC Dallas. We will talk with Steve Davis. Good afternoon, sir.
Howdy, fellas. How's it going over there?
Now, it's going really well, but we did run into one problem because usually we introduce, you know, they are the owner or the midfielder or whatever. But when it comes to you, you will do radio for FC Dallas, but you're also the director of legacy programs for the FIFA World Cup in Dallas. And you also run the Pleasant Grove Soccer and Sports organization, which is a nonprofit, and also a bunch of other things. So I don't exactly know how to hyphenate that intro. It feels like too many cool things.
No lies detected. All things you said are true. No fake news there. I do all of those things. I started as a writer at the Morning News, and back then they didn't know what they had with the 1994 World Cup, so they handed the assignment to the little cubby reporter who had just started and who had a big soccer background and was off and flying from there. So wrote nationally for ESPN and then SI for little while, and then sort of merged into doing some TV work with my good buddy Mark Falwell, and
he's the best.
Radio broadcast and coaching and all the things, man, and a lot of World Cup in my life right now.
Well, how
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972 Go Men's T or mensTclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cool is it to see just for the Metroplex specifically? Like, I know you were kind of joking, but when you said Dallas Morning News, Dallas in general, maybe didn't know what they had with the 1994 World Cup. Now we look ahead to just a touch below a year now, and the Metroplex is going to have more games than any city in this next World Cup. And people in the Metroplex were actively angry that we got a semifinal. Just think about how crazy that is. Like, we didn't get the final, so we're all super pissed. How much does that show you how soccer appreciation has evolved in those 32 years?
No, man, it is crazy because, yeah, we did get 9 matches, and, you know, that's more, as you said, more than any of the other cities, and And I know Dallas was so close to getting the final. You know, in the end, FIFA, you know, they love the flash and dash of New York. And, you know, I was at the final, you know, in 94 on the Rose Bowl, also with the Women's World Cup final in 91 at the in 99 at the Rose Bowl. So, that, you know, that stuff resonates with FIFA. They love Dallas. They love the stadium. They love everything about us. But in the end, it's you know, it's one guy. It's the head of FIFA, and he just, you know, and he likes bright lights, big city. And but man, I mean, 9 matches. I mean, how about them World Cup apples? Nobody else gets that. We got a semifinal, and it's going to rock around here like nowhere else.
DFW is a huge hub for that too. Like the
hub, yeah. The, and yeah. We're going to get our revenge in 2031 with the Women's World Cup final. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying. Yes, and you're right.
Thank you. That's all. I can't get Dan Hunt to commit all the way. He's like, no, that better be the case. But I can't get him to be like, absolutely, that's going to happen. Trust me on that.
Well, I'm low enough down the food chain. I can say it. You know, I think we got a good. I think we got a good shot at it. You know, and when the head of FIFA asked me, that's going to be my recommendation. I don't think he's going to. But you know, if he does, that's what I'm going
to
say.
If we are asked by the head of that to send it to somebody, we'll send it to you. We'll just be like, oh, you got to talk to Steve. He's the guy you got to talk to right now. So we got this, and just in case.
Yeah, we got it. Yeah, we're good. We're good, man.
Okay, so I know we should probably be talking about contemporary FC Dallas, but they have the week off, so I have a different question for you. It's been long enough. Were you concerned at all when we switched the team name from the Dallas Burn to FC Dallas? Because I always thought Dallas Burn was super cool. You've been part of this organization for a really, really long time. Were you concerned when we switched the name?
Was I concerned? I mean, that was back in 2004, so it's hard for me to remember whether I had two arms and two legs in 2004. Mm-hmm. I think I did, but concerned, I don't know about that, man. It was an effort to sort of rebrand the team at a time when in 1996, the soccer world looked a lot different. Major League Soccer was new. Dallas Burn was very new. They were moving into a new stadium. They just sort of wanted to sort of start fresh and introduce a new era. So I don't know that I was concerned about any of it. It's just, you know, it's marketing, and you know they did it for different reasons, and I think it was a good time because they were opening the stadium up there, and of course, as you know, the stadium's about to undergo this big renovation to sort of modernize it, bring it up to, because that stadium, I know it, sometimes people look at it and you know it's not as fancy as some of the other stadiums, but what they don't understand is the history that at the time nobody was building stadiums. It was literally the third purpose-built professional soccer stadium. And it sort of necessarily needed to be a little bit more, you know, just sort of nuts and bolts and sort of basic just to kind of get the stadium project moving. But because of that stadium, you know, now you had stadiums pop up in New York and Kansas City, then on and on. And now the stadiums they're creating, they're awesome. They're great, you know, roof structures and suites and, you know, big concession areas. And so what they're doing out there right now we sort of needed to modernize that and sort of catch up with the other stadiums. But again, that stadium out in Frisco was so important in getting the whole thing going. And the stadium project, nothing has helped drive the growth of Major League Soccer like the stadium projects all around the country.
Now, FC Dallas is about to have a run where they have 3 straight home matches. We have talked about this throughout the season, I think with really good cause. This FC Dallas team, unfortunately, has struggled mightily at home. And I realize they got a draw against Philly, which is a good team, especially being a man down for most of the match. But what do you think can change, or what do you think can improve to help kind of cure some of those home field ailments?
You know, my job as media is to answer questions, yes, you know, to provide answers. I don't know.
Oh, man.
You just it is crazy how good they are on the road, and that they just haven't translated that success at home. And look, I could get into the weeds with you know, a little bit, and you know, I could go 30 minutes about why, you know, what sort of, you know, tactically why that is, and player profile, and you know, characteristics of the team, and new coach with Eric Quill, and a lot of it is just about their new playmaker Lucho Acosta, who's a fabulous player, but they just haven't sort of figured out how to integrate him in ways when teams, I'll break it down very simply. at home, teams give you the ball a little bit more. They're going to sit back a little bit more defensively. And they just haven't figured out how to break those structures down. On the road, teams attack you, and in transition, Dallas is really good. And they've got a great road record, as you know. Most of the points they picked up
are
on the road. So it's just it's absolutely crazy because it very rarely happens this way. But that right now is just the personality of the team. And I think what it shows is that this new coach has really created this this real grit and resolve to where when they go on the road and they get punched in the face early, which they do a lot, frankly, they're able to rally back and even on the road. Whereas at home, when you're expected to be on the front foot, to take the initiative, they just haven't quite gotten there yet.
Well, we appreciate the time very much, good sir. And like I said, if you guys want to go check it out, Pleasant Grove Soccer and Sports nonprofit organization. I know we didn't even really get into that, but Steve, thank you very much for your time today, good sir.
You are always welcome. You guys have a good day.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Davis right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
There's Verhaeghe. Fox head down towards the empty net.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Courtesy of D&M Leasing, it's time for our chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Amazing, Heggie. How are you?
I'm doing well. Has my NBA take brought down your mood whatsoever? So I thought I was close to an agreement with somebody that I said, I thought Jokic was one and Giannis was three, maybe four. And we still haven't come to an agreement. And that's okay. You don't have to like Shea. You can think he's a free throw merchant. But I think right now in this moment, I feel comfortable putting him at second for the time being. And also, I don't think people acknowledge that Giannis's defense has dipped the last 3 years. He's still a really, really amazing player.
But there's so many different ways to take this conversation. It's just so hard when you look at the supporting cast of OKC and knowing that Luka got the better of him. What do you do with that? Like, okay, so the Lakers had a massively disappointing season, but that's because their supporting cast is nothing compared to the Thunder.
True.
I think if you put Luka in OKC situation right now, the finals would already be over.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Well, fascinating.
I think it was the part where you said Jalen Williams was the number two over Giannis. That's really ticked
true.
Off some people out there.
Not true. I talked about how
your problem.
It's amazing how
Cooper Flagg's already number two.
No, none of that.
Because he's from Duke.
Okay. Obviously, I have a Duke bias, but I didn't say any of that. And by the way, we were talking about this earlier. I don't like the idea that because I like Duke, I think Cooper Flagg's going to be good. I feel like that's like a national narrative that's out there. It's not, everybody thinks he's going to stink except for Kevin, who's really like, oh, this Duke kid's going to be something.
There might be some people that do think he's going to stink.
Which,
I don't know.
Yeah, which maybe there are, but feels.
But like, you're not on an island with thinking that he is
exactly.
going to be pretty awesome.
So it was like, so Trevor Lawrence has obviously not lived up to expectations.
Says you.
In the NFL. Yes, correct.
What were your expectations?
Says me. Well, my expectations.
A playoff win? Because that's about what I had.
Yeah, or that he would maybe have the same head coach in multiple years. I don't know. But Mike talked about him a lot, and people were like, God, Mike, you're so wrong about that. And I was like, maybe. But I also feel like a whole lot of other people, except for Broadus and Zach, you have to get thrown into that mix of they were also wrong about Trevor Lawrence.
100% wrong about Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, people are wrong.
I thought he was one of the can't miss quarterback. Him and Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
They both coming out just seem okay, these guys are going to be pretty damn good. Like a worst case scenario, they're a really good starting quarterback in the NFL. T-Law definitely had that second half of the season where he was freaking awesome with Doug Peterson, and then they have the epic comeback against the Chargers, and for a minute, they were hanging on with the Chiefs, and then Mahomes, of course, had that ankle injury and then came back in, but ever since then, and you're right, I mean, the coaching changes there, that can affect a quarterback, the situation matters, but no, Trevor Lawrence has definitely not lived up anywhere close to the hype coming out.
Agreed. All right, so Corey, you brought this story up a couple days ago.
Way to go, Corey.
Heck yeah, I'm contributing.
What?
Team player.
He's doing a great job.
Sure.
Team player.
So we can either talk about Corey's guns or the story we never got to about Lenora Sellers turning down $8 million because his dad's like, you don't need $8 million. You stay at your damn school.
That's a weird line. He's like, hey, he's staying at this school because we came here to play ball and get an education. I love hearing that from a dad. I think that's awesome. Dude.
South Carolina is an odd place to get an education from, but
it's not Vanderbilt. Like, I get what you're saying.
I'll tell you what, that offer that softball lady took at Tech to leave Stanford.
Yeah.
That is huge. I would never, as hard as it is to do anything.
Do you think the educational difference of those degrees from Stanford to Tech is worth more than she got paid?
Wreck them all day long. Wreck them. But man, I'll tell you what, you would have to give somebody millions of dollars to leave Stanford, I believe, if you're really serious about the educational aspect of it.
Just a part, though, of like $8 million is a lot. And I don't know that I would be able to turn that down, even for my kid.
He might be in a situation where he is one of these second or third quarterbacks we talk about in this draft.
And the next one, absolutely.
Yeah, well, depending on what happens with Nussmeier and some others, he might be the best quarterback in the Southeastern Conference.
Yeah. You think Arch is going to stay beyond this year?
Well, okay. See, I mean, like I say, Arch, you mentioned, Nussmeier, this kid right here, I mean, it's going to be... Nick. Yeah, it's going to be depending. I don't know if Arch. I think Arch stays.
I think Arch stays too. I don't think Arch is coming.
So that's why I didn't include him. But if Arch were to come out, then of course you're talking about three quarterbacks right there.
Arch is going to go full Van Wilder, I believe. He's just going to stick it out as long as he can.
Okay.
You have a whole floor to himself at one of the dorms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be the Arch Hall. Just be a one man.
He's living with McConaughey.
Well, I kind of like that. So
eating his tuna fish.
Oh yeah. Oh gosh, that tuna.
ESPN Bet put out this stat this morning, and I can't get over it. They have the Indiana Pacers' odds of winning next year's championship as better than winning this series. It's only 3-2.
Well, they know Halliburton's out.
And he said he does have a calf strain. He's going to try to play, and I get it. But, like, they just need to win two games. I don't think they're going to do it, but just two games. And ESPN Bet says, you're better off. There's a better chance you win next year. Do this whole thing over again than to win the next two games.
Sleeping forfeit.
That feels crazy to me.
That is crazy, dude. That is crazy. I guess they're putting a ton of stock. I guess they're just basically putting it at what, like 0% chance that they're winning
these, it pretty much feels like
these next two games.
I think that's a mistake. You know, I just don't know if I want to bet on either one of them.
And that's fair. It just feels like I would just be like, oh, I'm going to default to. Maybe they can win the next two.
They are uniquely capable of winning in spite of losing their best player because of what they bring team ball wise.
Yeah.
You know, and while Halliburton is important, I think Carlisle can put together a winning game plan to still mitigate what OKC does well. And if they don't shoot the ball well, if Thunder don't drop shots, I could see... You know, the Pacers force into game 7.
Are you guys more impressed right now by Coastal Carolina or the Ravens picking up Jaire Alexander for a maximum of $6 million?
Is it Jaire?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, no, is it not? I always say that instead of Jaire.
I thought it was the hard J. I like that.
You were trying to get fancy going Vogue on us there.
I always scare away from the hard J, all right?
Yeah, so. that's fair. I would say Ravens, man. I think that's a nice pickup. It's a really nice pickup for
that
them.
That defense is going to be nasty, man.
For those five, Humphrey, Wiggins.
It kind of seems like that these guys all of a sudden find a home like at the Ravens and they don't get hurt anymore. You know, like he's one of
that's
these guys,
a good point.
Like all of a sudden it's kind of like, you know, you watch Christian McCaffrey and stuff at Carolina. Look at the guy with the Giants. It's in Philadelphia. It's like all of a sudden they're hurt for their original teams and then when they get to another team, they never get a scratch on them.
Another missed opportunity for the Cowboys front office. Maybe there's another player they're going to acquire in one of these 365 days to help their defensive backfield. But I think it should have been a Jaire Alexander myself.
It was like a hefty, like $4 million that they gave him. So yeah, I can
max
understand.
Of six.
They're like, out of the price range.
Yeah. We can't afford that. We only have $30 million in cap space. What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Oh, pure gold as always. Thanks for asking. George Sedano's coming up at 4. We'll talk Mavs offseason and NBA finals with him.
I like it. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with the show tomorrow. They'll be live at Globe Life Field. I believe it's Zach, Alec, and Carter doing the show tomorrow live at Globe Life Field right here on 105.3 The Fan.
See you in a week, Kevin.
Later.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.